expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com, Envisage Productions LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
Over the whole earth by the glorious gospel of the kingdom. And we are the body of Christ, which is also called church, the ecclesia, what I might also call the Israel, that's supposed to take this glorious gospel of the kingdom and invade the whole planet. And the way that you spread the glory of God is that the church goes forth and preach a gospel, live a kingdom lifestyle, so we can influence people to come to Christ and become disciples for the kingdom of God. And what I need to do on a continual basis is to remind you the purpose of Jesus Christ coming. Now, there are a couple of things I want to make very clear. This is very important. Number one, Jesus came, first of all, to take care of the law's requirements that we could not keep. To keep the Moses law, obey the covenant, keep the requirements, do what's required of the law. We've come to find out that Jew or non-Jew fell short of that law. That's why the Bible says we fall short of the glory of God. We did not keep the Moses law like we were supposed to, or like we tried to trick people to think that we kept it. And the religious establishments during Jesus' days act like they kept it and did not keep it. And then it would put extra heavy burdens on the people. They seemed real religious, like they was keeping the law, and no one was keeping it. So Jesus Christ comes to keep it fully. And those that would receive him as Lord and Savior, it would look like that you also kept the law through Christ Jesus. But there was a religious establishment that refused to change. They did not want to relinquish power or control. They maintained control over the Jewish temple and over the way that people were to fulfill what Christ wanted them to fulfill. They loved the money. They loved the authority of being in the place of position of power and money and rulership. And they did not want to relinquish the power of the control of the Temple Mount. So Christ came to bring an end to that system and start another system called the Kingdom of God system. As one Jewish age was ending, the Kingdom of God age was coming into view. So when I read the scripture to you in the book of Matthew's gospel, I'm showing you that Christ says, I am bigger than a city. I am bigger than the state. As a matter of fact, the scripture says the nations are like a drop in the bucket compared to God. And Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He's Emmanuel. So he comes to bring an end to something and the beginning of another. Now, I read this scripture in one of the other gospels today. Today, I already told you, this is SITU graduating weekend. And I'm graduating about 6 students from my school. We got a big event tomorrow night at 6 p.m. and also at 7:30, the graduation. If you're interested in coming, please inbox me on Facebook. We're going to be on 10th Avenue, and we're going to be on the corner of 23rd Street. We're going to be on the corner of 23rd Street and 10th Avenue at J and Jackson. Jackson is a restaurant that serves some nice food, and the dinner will be served from 6 to 7:30. Then we have an official graduating ceremony, of course, at 7:30. And so I am training these students. I'm training these men and women of God to understand the true purpose of true ministry. And that true ministry is how well you take the glorious gospel of the kingdom and advance it. Spread it out. Move from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. Don't get so locked into your Jerusalem. Stop thinking that Christ is only after your city or after your state. The glorious gospel of the kingdom is a global mission. It is to transform the whole planet into the discipleship of Christ Jesus, to turn every nation into that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't back off of that. Don't punk off of that. It is what it is. Whether we do it or God waits for another generation to come after we die off and bring someone else in, There's going to be a generation of people that will take this glorious gospel of the kingdom and spread it and mobilize it like it is supposed to, with signs and wonders following, with a supernatural anointing, with the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the kingdom. And we're not going to be held back because of a certain religious trend or because the Jews used to do it this way, so we stuck in the past. Not going to happen. There is a powerful scripture in the Bible, of course, in the book of Matthew chapter 22, and Jesus Christ is actually going to teach this parable to the chief priests and the Pharisees. He's actually telling them what's going to come to pass prophetically. So I want you to go to Matthew's Gospel chapter 22, and I'm going to be reading from the Holy Bible, the NIV version, and it kind of explains to you what is the mission of the church. And the church is to raise up preachers that will take this glorious gospel of the kingdom. These preachers are saints who become preachers who will communicate and live this gospel of the kingdom till souls come into disciples for Christ, and we disciple the nations. This is the only system that God is using, and that's the system of the church and the kingdom of God through Christ Jesus. Now, for those who are politically correct and those who run in political circles, I know everything to you is the same religion, no matter if it's Muslim, Christianity, or Jewish, all the same. Well, I'm here to let you know they're not the same. That's something folks say in political circles. The whole thing is Jesus' name. He is the only way to the Father. And if you really say you're the body of Christ and the church, which is called the ruling body, we spool to advance this kingdom without any hindrance. Now, when I talk about advancing the kingdom, when I talk about globalizing the earth with the glorious gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, I don't always mean how we do stuff on Sunday mornings at church services, because I've met many leaders, especially black leaders, who cannot stand the local church ministry because they think it's a waste of time, a waste of resources. I disagree with that perception, but that is one of the perceptions. And so we get caught up in choir robes, choir anniversaries, the pastor anniversary, the church anniversary, the church anniversary, and we spend so much time at anniversaries and ticket sales and bus rides. We don't really focus on the true purpose of why this thing exists called the church. And that church, which we are supposed to be trained and equipped by the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, so that we can embrace the coming in of this age of the kingdom, where the power of Christ takes over from the heart. The kingdom comes in, not in a sense of military strength, but a sense of the Spirit of God power, by the change of hearts, the change of minds. And so when Christ Jesus shows up on the scene in Matthew's Gospel chapter 22, he actually is going to tell a very rough story to the religious leaders of that time, who at this time are running the Jewish temple, running the Jewish religion, but really not running it the way that God had designed it. They almost had like kidnapped it and tried to make the tabernacle and the Torah work to their advantage and not to what God calls it to be. And so it is very important to understand that this will be a time when God wants to do something through a man named Jesus that's never been done before. This will be a time where the kingdom will advance in such a way that it will cause a different way of thinking, a different type of mentality, a different way of unfolding things. All right, so when Christ Jesus comes on the scene, this is difficult to embrace if you're the one that's trying to control the money and control the system. So what I'm going to show you, and I want you to see this carefully, in the glorious gospel of Matthew chapter 22, is that Christ comes on the scene and he's dealing with a system that the Jews says they don't want this new Messiah. They don't want to deal with this man named Jesus. They're fighting him every which of the way. And so when you see this going on, you're going to find out that this glorious gospel of the kingdom is something that Jesus brings into view, but the Jews are rejecting that. They don't want to embrace it. They don't like it. So when Jesus Christ comes on the scene, there's a war going on, and this is a religious war. This is a war that is fought by a ideal. The Pharisees, watch this, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, if you look at chapter 21, verse 45, is that when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. And they looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held him as a prophet. Then in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, he is going to explain a story to the very enemies that will play a role in his crucifixion. Now, we understood why he came. He came to challenge the systems of that day. He came to his own Jewish people, and they rejected him, at least a portion of them that rejected him, who played a role in policy in seeing that he'll be put to death. And he knew when he challenged that system, they will murder him. They will crucify him. But due to their ignorance, God used that in spite of the knowledge base to complete a prophecy that the Father God said that Jesus will die for mankind. Well, in the meantime, the book of Matthew chapter 22 kind of sets the tone of where Jesus is heading. And he's going to explain to the Jewish leadership of this day, who ran the Temple Mount, who ran the Jewish system, he's speaking to the chief priests and the Pharisees about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. So you go to Matthew's Gospel 22, it says, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet and tell them to come, but they refused to come. You know why they don't want to come? Because they don't like Jesus. They don't want to embrace Jesus. They're rejecting his messiahship. Verse 4, then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But look what these Jewish leaders did. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army, destroyed those murderers, and burnt down their city. Now, I want you to hear me closely, and please don't get mad. Just get the glad-glads. Jesus is explaining to the Jewish leadership of this day, those that reject me, those Jews that don't want to embrace me as Messiah, your city will be burned to the ground, your temple will be burnt up, and this ain't nothing else but the prophecy that Jesus kept giving, that if you don't embrace me as Messiah, if you don't take heed of my prophecies, this Jewish temple that y'all uplift and make it so big and so wide, it'll be torn out brick by brick by brick. Now, I'm only telling you this story because it is biblical, it is the truth, and people don't want to tell you the truth. But there's a closing out of the Jewish system and a coming in of the kingdom of God system through Christ Jesus. There is a transition. And there are the Jews that I love that embrace Jesus Christ as Messiah. They're my brothers and sisters. We make up one body. We make up Ecclesia. We make up the Israel, the promises that were made to Abraham's people in the book of Deuteronomy, they're transferable over to Gentiles now because we've been engrafted in by the seed of Abraham, by the blood of Jesus Christ. But what he's explaining to you in chapter 22, that there is a Jewish people, there is a Jewish leadership that rejected Christ, refused to come to the banquet table, and they're going to pay a price for it. Look what it says in verse 8. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants or the ministers, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Many are called, but few are chosen. Now he is setting a tone in this wedding story. And this is what Jesus says. I'll reach my hand out to my Jewish brothers and sisters, those during this time, and I kept telling you to come to the wedding table, sit down with me and embrace me as the bride, embrace me as being joined to me, embrace my lordship, embrace my kingdom. Stop saying that Abraham is greater, Moses is greater, and David is greater, or John the Baptist is greater. None of them are greater because all of them point to me. And y'all keep playing me off. You keep on saying, I'm not the truth. I'm not the lit one. I am. I am who I am. And he kept saying, and since you keep rejecting me, you keep overlooking me, you keep on rejecting the cornerstone, I'm going to be the stone that you rejected, become the chief cornerstone. And I'm telling you, it's not going to look good for you. I'm warning you, embrace me. All right? So, of course, they never come to the wedding table. They never embrace Christ. So what Christ does in this story of Matthew 22, go get the non-Jews. Go get the Gentiles. Go get a people that don't even believe in God, wasn't even given the Old Testament and the Torah. Go find the Gentiles, those that don't have no knowledge of who God is. Go get Michael McDuffie. Go get the other people. Go get them where the promises were not made them. Go get the people that wasn't even called the people. Go get them. And the banquet hall was filled. This is nothing else than an evangelistic ministry where the Jews rejected Christ, but the Gentiles embraced them. And so the halls were filled with individuals, I believe Jew and non-Jew, that sat at the wedding table and they embraced Christ. But it seems that in this story, somebody came in and was in the banquet hall illegally. They did not come through Jesus. They tried to get the promises and try to do what God wanted without coming through Jesus. And since you did not have on the right wedding clothes and the right outfit, you were not dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, I am throwing you out and tie you with hand and foot and throw you into darkness where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Many have been called, but few are chosen. I kept calling your name. I kept saying, come on, my Jewish brothers and sisters. Come on, those who are in leadership. Come to Christ. Come to me. I keep calling you, but I see only a few of you are chosen. So this is what he's explaining to you, how something is coming to an end and something else is about to begin. Okay? Now I'm showing you something. When Christ came into the temple, when Christ comes into the temple, and we talked about this earlier in my radio show and my Facebook Live, is that he was cleaning the temple out. He was coming into the temple, turning the tables over, and casting out the money change that those that sold does. He said, you turned this house into a den of thieves. It's supposed to be a house that where all nations come and pray. But the Jewish leadership of that day, I'm going to make it very plain, kind of kidnapped the system and try to maintain it and control it the way they want to, making money off the sacrifices, making money off the loans with high levels of interest and trying to control the money. It was running scam in the temple. And Christ came to turn the tables over and clean the house out. Earlier that day, he had cursed a fig tree, which is symbolic of the cursing of this Jewish system and the end of the Jewish age, but also the prophesying of the burning up of the Jewish tabernacle in 70 AD. Now, you're going to see this over and over. It's in Mark's gospel. I'm reading you Matthew's gospel. And here's my message today. The message is God don't want just a city. God don't want just a state. God wants the whole earth. He wants the global market to have an impact with Christ Jesus in the church or the ecclesia or the Israel I'm talking about, which includes Jews and non-Jews joined together by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I've been reaching out to the nation of Israel. I want them to embrace me as the Messiah, but they reject me, they reject me, and they reject me. And due to their rejection, I am going to promote the Gentiles. And prayerfully, the Gentiles will love me so well, they'll make the Jews jealous, so the Jews will call on Jesus. See, and that's the system that's being communicated here in the book of Matthew, but also in the book of Romans, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, up to chapter 12. So when you see Matthew's gospel, chapter 20, 3, and it's going to go in chapter 23. I hope I can get to it. Christ begins to lay out some curses, and he uses the term woe, W-O-E, which means curse, which means it's coming to an end, that you may have been running the temple wrong for a while. You've been killing the prophets. You've been stoning people. You've been crucifying others. I'm not the first one. And I'm letting you know that there is a woe coming, W-O-E. There is a closing out of how you used to do something, and there is a coming in of a kingdom system and a kingdom movement that's going to blow your mind. Now, you're listening to, of course, the Mike Radio Show here at www.mikebroadcastddb.com. www.mikebroadcastddb.com. It'll be 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. I'm not in the station today. I called in today. But I want my voice to be very clear when I teach this. So when I teach what I'm about to show you, it's going to mess you up from the floor up. And you're going to see why there's a great responsibility on the back of the church. And we can't play around with this thing. We can't pigeonhole God down to one day out the week for a couple of hours. This thing of the kingdom globalizing the planet with the glorious gospel, it is a day-by-day thing. It is 24 hours, 7 days a week, and we are owned and we are ruled by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is nothing we have that we own. Everything we have, we rent, we lease, and we have it temporarily. And all these resources and access to people, access, it is to create strategies so that we can lead folks to Christ, get a heart transformed and change. But at the same time, Jesus is also bringing correction as a prophet. He's bringing correction to a temple. He's bringing correction to religious leaders of that day. And cursed be those that held folk in bondage and were wicked as rattlesnakes. Okay? Here we go. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23. And it says in verse 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? The son of David, they replied. Then Jesus said to them, how is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, the Lord said to my Lord, which means Christ, he's using their Old Testament readings to convict them. He is using the very law that they so much exalt, uplift, when them themselves wasn't keeping it. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how he be his son? No one could say a word in reply. And what Jesus is saying is, listen, they're calling me the son of David. I'm the great son of David, but I'm also Lord. I'm also Messiah. So if y'all so much beat and so convinced that David is this and David is that, David prophesied of my day. He prophetically saw that I am the Lord that had shown up to be your Messiah, your Savior, your Lord, your Master. But though the system, the Jewish system of the day that ran the Jewish temple, the Temple Mount, rejected Christ over and over. So when you come into chapter 22 and 23, this is a difficult two chapters to read because the religious elders and the priests that ran the temple had already plotted to murder Jesus. And all it was doing, asking questions to try to catch him in a lie, to tempt him so they can bring up on charges, so the Jewish system can bring up religious charges against them and then tell it to Rome so Rome can execute, because the Jews can't really do any execution. That's not their ball game. Execution comes from Rome. And Rome let you practice your religion. But Rome and kind of Israel was kind of cozy a little bit, even though Israel was dominated by Rome. And the Jews did believe in a Messiah coming, but Jesus wasn't the one they was about to embrace. So what I'm showing you that while Jesus Christ is preparing the body of Christ to arrive on the scene and take the glorious gospel of the kingdom over the whole earth, at the same time, he's bringing judgment, he's bringing an end to an old Jewish age system so that God can bring something to an end and start something fresh and start something new, okay? And this is what it says, Matthew's Gospel. It's 2:49. I got about 5 minutes. Text me how much time I got, my engineer. It says in verse 23, and now he starts to go into the rebuking of the religious leaders. He already got in the he already is in the Pharisees' case, the Sadducees' case, the priests, the elders. Now he's about to really get into the Pharisees. Chapter 23, and it says this. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to the disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. They so big and boasting, I trying to big up Moses. Moses this, Moses that. Moses that, Moses this. Moses that, Moses this. Moses this, Moses that. And he kept saying, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. He's saying, you're adding all these oral laws, oral traditions, adding all this extra stuff to Moses' law, and you yourself don't even keep it. So you're putting loads of responsibilities on the Jewish followers, and yourself, your religious leadership, don't even keep the Moses' law, don't even keep the requirements. You're putting a heavy load on the people. Matthew 23, verse 5, everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at the banquets and most important seats in the synagogue. Be greeted in the marketplace, and they have been calling rabbi. Like all the titles, all the religious services, you get all the front row seats, you get the best of food, you get the festivals, everybody call you deep and spiritual, but at the end of the day, you're not doing what God told you to. You're not really keeping the Moses law, you're not really doing what you're supposed to do. You put all these heavy loads on the people. He is ripping a hole into the leadership of the Pharisees, all right? Verse 8, but you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all our brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, he is in heaven. Now let me just give you a balance here. Always keep things in its proper contextual setting. It doesn't mean you can't have a father ministry. He's speaking in the contextual setting of how the Pharisees took a word and exalted it over everybody else. So apparently in the mind of a Pharisee, their father meant that whatever they say goes. And if the father of the Pharisees says something and his word was greater than Moses' law or the Torah, then obey the father of the Pharisees, the one that's in charge. Take his word over the written tradition. Take his word. And God would say, no, Father God set this thing in motion. If anyone that calls himself father and they're trying to take the place of Father God, you have only one Father, and that's Father God. And the Father God has ordained me as Jesus the Christ to come into the earth and die for mankind. David pointed to me, Abraham pointed to me, and Moses pointed to me. Don't let someone using the title as Father to get you to abandon your true Father. And that's what it's talking about. Okay, here we go. Nor are you all to call one teacher, for you have one teacher Christ. That means don't allow someone to say, I'm the teacher. Listen to me only. No, Christ is the teacher, which means Christ is, I'm the number one teacher. And God the Father is the number one Father. So whatever the Father God says, whatever Christ the teacher says, take their word over everybody else. You have need of them first before this system second. So Christ is bringing a harsh word of judgment and correction. All right? As a matter of fact, this played a role in some of the nails in his coffin, which they hung him on the cross. Verse 10, nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest amongst you will be a servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So there was a system that made the people prideful. Their money made them great. They put their nose up at the air, looked down at the poor. There was love of money, running the temple any way they want. That was, you exalted yourself. Were you about to be humble? And those that come bowing low and say, I'm a sinner, Lord, save me. I'm about to exalt them. So there's two things going on. There's a bringing down and there's a positioning of promotion and bringing up at the same time. So he starts to talk about woe. No word for woe is curse. Curse to you, teacher of the law. Woe to you, teacher of the law, Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win one single convert, and when he becomes one, You train him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Woe to you, you blind guys, you blind teachers, you blind fathers. That's what he's doing. You say if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. If anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by the oath. So you swear by the temple, it means nothing. But if you got enough of gold and money, what you say, we need to honor it. So you loving money, you loving gold, you're running the temple wrong, you're running the temple mount wrong, and you've been doing it for a long time, but I'm here to bring woe to it. Woe to you, curse be to you. He is bound by his oath, you blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing, but if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by the oath. So everything is tied to the love of money, the love of gold. Christ came to bring correction. He came to curse the fig tree. He came to curse the system that people were eating from that was not the proper fruit to eat, and lulling people to sleep like Snow White, eating of the wrong fruit of the wrong tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is the Jewish system of that day. I've come to bring the right tree of life, to bring the right system, which is the kingdom of God. So here we go. We got to begin to close out because it's 2:56. And I want to thank you for listening to the Mike Radio Show today. And I want to invite you out to our church service tomorrow, 9 o'clock to 10:30 a.m. on the corner of 23rd and 10th Avenue at Jay and Jack's Restaurant. We also have our SITU graduation at 7:30 p.m. sharp. Dinner is offered from 6 to 7:30. Have to order your own food. So please come out. Thank you for listening to the Mike Radio Show. We had a little technical difficulty today. We'll be better next week. But God bless you. Thank you for listening to the Mike Radio Show. Love you.
Bella Physical Therapy, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey, featuring one-on-one care. Bella Physical Therapy can help treat your orthopedic and sports injuries, chronic pain, men's health conditions, and women's health conditions. Also, treating headaches and tinnitus and vestibular disorders. It's easy to set up an appointment. Visit www.bella-pt.com or call 201-791-0008. That's 201-791-0008. You owe it to yourself to stop living in pain. Start the road to recovery. Call Bella Physical Therapy today. Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate different work shifts. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Wayne Ford. If you are looking for a certified, used, or new vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer. Featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the tri-state area, Wayne Ford has been proudly serving the community for over 50 years. Conveniently located 1/4 mile from the Willowbrook Mall on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey, contact Wayne Ford today. Toll free 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. Kale Orthopedic Center, featuring high-performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for New Jersey's finest. Every day you put your body at risk, and Kale Orthopedic is here to help you. Contact Kale Orthopedic at 201-447-3880. That's 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic, high-performance care for bodies in motion. If you're tired of sleeping alone each night, contact Dr. Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is New Jersey's law enforcement professional's preferred sleep apnea doctor. With the use of a custom-fitted oral device, you can now look forward to a restful night's sleep. Contact Dr. Doblin, featuring two convenient locations in Fairlawn and Trenton, New Jersey. Call 201-396-9338 or visit athomesleepsolutions.com. City Health Pharmacy, located at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey. Come and experience why thousands of your neighbors choose City Health Pharmacy each and every month. City Health Pharmacy is a proud supporter of the men and women of New Jersey law enforcement, their families, and friends. Visit City Health Pharmacy today at 23 Court Street in Newark, New Jersey. or call 862-772-0442. That's 862-772-0442. When shopping for a new vehicle, look no further than Lester Glenn Auto Group. Why Lester Glenn? Because there's no middleman and no bait and switch tactics. Just supplier pricing for all police, EMTs, military, firefighters, nurses, and teachers. Active or retired with proper ID. Contact John Stetz today at Lester Glenn Auto Group, 732-228-1338. That number again, 732-228-1338. John Stetz at Lester Glenn Auto Group, a proud sponsor of Blue World Uncensored and NJ Blue Now. If you're looking for the widest variety of programming, diverse, uncensored, opinionated, you found it. DDVRadio.com is the place to be, with programs such as Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guys Show, Curtain Call, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the preferred radio network of NJ Blue Now.